keeping them engaged. So once you hire them, making sure that, you know, you're providing them with the tools and resources that they need to do their job really well.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Today, we're having a conversation with Kate Erickson. Kate is one half of the leadership team behind Entrepreneur on Fire, or EOFire.com. She writes a blog called Kate's Take, and she's extraordinarily well-regarded in the entrepreneurial space, not just as an entrepreneur in her own right, but for helping and guiding small businesses and others to their own success as well. She's sharing with us today some of her experiences about when she transitioned out of a job into business, some of the lessons that she learned, some of the failures that she had actually, and equally what she did to learn from those failures and take them into her next venture, which has been extraordinarily successful with her partner, John Lee Dumas. We talk a lot about, you know, building a team, how to find great people, how to keep them engaged in the process, what sort of systems you might need in place, but equally how to be productive, how to focus on the things that are really important to move your business forward day in, day out, you know, what she does in her morning routine, how she journals, you know, how she makes sure that she's really staying true to the goals and ambitions of the business. All those challenges that each of us as dental practice owners face as well, how to cope with overwhelm, how to get through the sheer volume of work that needs to be done to keep the practice running and thriving and indeed prospering. So I hope you really enjoy the conversation with Kate. As I said, she shares a lot of gold in this interview, and I really encourage you, as always, to take some notes so you can take them back to your practice on Monday and put them into good use. So without any further ado, here's Kate Erickson. Kate Erickson, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Thanks so much for taking the time to come and talk to us all the way from Puerto Rico. How are you going?
Yes, Jesse, thank you so much for inviting me on. Really excited to be here. I'm doing amazing.
Yeah, well, I think if you're living in Puerto Rico, it's got to be amazing because that just sounds like a whole lot of fun. And we're talking off air. It's all beautiful seasons of, you know, warmth and glorious weather all year round. So that's wonderful. Good on you.
Yeah. Aside from the pretty much daily thunderstorm that'll pass through, but luckily it passes through rather quickly. So yeah, I can't complain.
Yeah, cool. That sounds wonderful. I used to live up in Queensland. It's where I grew up, and it's, you know, kind of semi-tropical. You can feel the thunderstorm as it's coming. And then when it passes, it's this sudden sense of relief. And I'm sure it's probably similar there.
Yes. Wow.
Cool. Hey, Kate, I wanted to talk a little bit about running a successful business today. And before we do get into it, you run an amazing business with your partner, John Lee Dumas, and Entrepreneur on Fire, which is, you know, obviously doing amazing things around the world. So firstly, my congratulations to you guys for running an extraordinary business and helping so many aspiring business owners and entrepreneurs around the world, not even just aspiring business owners, but business owners at all levels. What I really wanted to just unpack with you today is some of the fundamentals that you've observed with all the different businesses that you've helped that are applicable to dentists, because someone listening to this podcast might go, oh, that's not necessarily, you know, dental practice. But what I've observed through reading your material, through John's material, is that everything you guys talk about is applicable to any business, particularly dentistry. So I wanted to have a bit of a chat about that. But I guess I wanted to start with a little bit about your backstory, Kate, because I'm wondering, you know, before Entrepreneur on Fire, did you have an enterprise? Has life always been as rosy and as successful as it is now? Or has there been a bit of a backstory and some lessons along the way?
Oh, man, there's such a big backstory, but I will keep it brief. First of all, thank you so much for your kind words about EO Fire. John and I are very blessed and very proud of what we've created and so happy to be serving entrepreneurs and really helping other people, you know, achieve and create the life that they want to live. And, you know, getting to choose freedom, getting to choose what it is that you do and when you do it, we're huge proponents of that. So thank you for that. So my backstory, I didn't even know what entrepreneurship was until probably about 2010. And I say this totally honestly, like I hear so many people talk about entrepreneurship or being small business owners. And, you know, it's something that they knew that they would do since they were 5 years old and they were selling candy on the side of the street or whatever it might be. I never did any of that. Nobody in my family was an entrepreneur. I didn't know that it was an option. So it was probably in 2010, I was working in a human resources department at a large bank. And I had been in the same position for about 3.5 years. And I started getting to the point where I just knew that that couldn't be it. I was doing everything I was supposed to do. I was like the hardest worker in our department. And I couldn't get a promotion. I couldn't get a raise. I just felt like I was so stuck, like that glass ceiling. Oh my gosh. I felt it like the weight of the world on top of me. Like I couldn't go anywhere. And I got so frustrated and fed up by that. And even though I didn't know what the other option was, I knew that there had to be something else. And so that's when I really started exploring this idea of, like, how do people create businesses? I started kind of paying more attention to the brands and the people that, you know, I was attracted to for their products or their services. And that's when I kind of uncovered entrepreneurship and thought, you know what? I can do this. Like, I am going to take this leap. I am going to get out of this 9-to-5 and I am going to create the life that I want to live.
Wow. Okay. So what was that first step? What did you do to kind of, you know, get rid of that environment that you're in and move away from that glass ceiling place?
Yeah. So the first thing I did was create a plan. I'm a huge plan person. You know, I want to know all the steps. I want to have a guide. I want to know deadlines. Like, I'm very organized, detail oriented, all that sort of good stuff. Luckily, that helped me create a plan so that from the day that I realized that I would leave that job and I had no idea what I was going to do, but I committed to it. I set a date. I said in 6 months, I will be gone. I started creating a plan for how I was going to save as much money as possible. So I started writing out like a budget, you know, how much money do I need per month? What's my runway look like? How much money does it cost to start a business? You know, I started researching like, what does it cost to run a website and maybe like branding costs or marketing costs or ad costs, like all these things that I had no idea about. I knew I needed to start finding out more about them if it was something that I actually wanted to accomplish. So it was really like a big research phase for me, these 6 months from when, you know, I decided I was going to leave until I actually left, where it was a lot of budgeting, a lot of saving money, a lot of making really big sacrifices, like, you know, ditching vacations I had already planned, not going out every single weekend, not going out to eat all the time. You know, I was really looking for any way to help me get out of this job. And when you have a pain that's like that huge, you'll be surprised by the things that you'll do once you commit to it.
Absolutely. So, okay, so you've got your plan, you're organized, and you've laid out this plan of attack, so to speak. I'm curious to know, did everything go according to that plan, or were there a few side journeys and detours and mishaps or missteps along the way, or did it all just go, you know, A to B to C to D and in a nice logical sequence? What was your journey?
So it was a little bit of both. The steps I had laid out, they worked very well in getting me out of my job. I did quit my job in 6 months.
Well done.
I did go out and start and try and start my own business. And it was kind of once I started my business that I realized there were a lot of steps that I was missing. This is one thing that, you know, I'm sure you can relate to, and we talk about a lot here at EO Fire, is just start, because you can do all the research in the world. You can follow every successful entrepreneur there is. You can try and mold what you're doing to what other people have already accomplished. It's not going to work the same way for you as it did for somebody else. And I proved that to myself very early on. Luckily, it was an early lesson for me. So while I did go out and launch my own business, which I called Kate's Copy, I was trying to help brick and mortar, small brick and mortar businesses bring their presence online so that they could grow their business. I learned so many lessons about the importance of knowing who your one perfect customer is, the importance of niching down and really knowing exactly what market you're trying to serve. Again, the importance of just starting and doing things, because sometimes that's the only way you're going to find out what that next step is. There was a lot of that. So my timeline was totally unrealistic in like me starting a business to when I was actually going to have paying clients and be able to see this as like something that was going to replace my income. So at about 6 months after I launched that business and gave my full attention full time, I was, you know, at coffee shops, sitting in my house during the day, on the weekends, working at this business, trying to figure out how to make this work. 6 months later, I went and I got a job. I didn't have one client. You know, I learned so many valuable lessons, but I didn't have it in me emotionally or financially to continue trying to do that. So I actually went back to corporate America. I got a job in advertising and marketing, and I held that position until I joined John at EOFire.
Fantastic. So there's so many good lessons there. And for anyone listening, we're speaking to Kate Erickson from EOFire. And Kate, you've just already shared some really, I think, wonderful lessons for anyone listening, particularly those who are aspiring to practice ownership. You might be in a job and thinking about making the transition. A couple of key things came up. And even for those who are already in their practice, the first one is knowing your one perfect customer, your one perfect patient in our case, and really focusing and channeling your energy there. You really nailed that beautifully, Kate. And equally, just starting, there's so much market research that just can't be done that you learn in the trenches by doing things. So, Kate, you've obviously got a few battle scars from that first foray into business, but you know, obviously things worked out really well. But when you went into EOFire with John, how did those first experiences shape your transition into EOFire?
Well, so it was definitely the lessons that I learned, like, you know, as you just recap, Jesse, about knowing my audience, knowing who it is that I'm trying to serve, and how integral that is to helping you create products, services, content, anything. I didn't realize that I was going to be stuck at a dead end until I figured that out. So when I did join EOFire, one of the first things that I did is I went into our email, like our email platform where we collected email addresses for people like signing up for a newsletter. And I turned on notifications so that I was notified every single time somebody signed up to join our list. And every time I got that email notifying me of a new subscriber, I would personally reach out to that individual and I'd ask them why they signed up, like how they had heard about us. And so like trying to figure out where people are finding out about us from. And then I asked them what their biggest struggle or pain point was that they were facing right now in either trying to start their business or, you know, during their journey of creating a business. And doing things that don't scale, it's so incredibly important. And today, John and I still do things that don't scale like that, where you don't necessarily send out a survey to 10,000 people and get all this amazing feedback. But if you start taking the time to have one-on-one conversations with people and letting them know how meaningful it is to you that they've signed up for your email list. And, you know, you could really apply this to any situation. If you're at like a networking event or, you know, maybe a conference for dentistry or whatever it might be, you know, these are the types of relationships and questions that you can be starting. And that really made a huge difference for me, because what it did is it helped me truly understand who our audience is. That allowed me to start creating content that I knew would be super valuable for them.
I think that's absolutely gold. For anyone listening there, Kate has just laid out, I think, one of the most fundamental principles of marketing. And of course, you know, service delivery is whatnot and whatnot as well. But if you haven't written that down, I'd really encourage you to hit the pause button, rewind, and take some notes on that, because it's absolute gold. Kate, running a business can sometimes be overwhelming for a small business owner or an entrepreneur. There's obviously always things to be done. You know, you're in service delivery mode. And then, you know, sometimes if you've got a business that doesn't scale, you feel like the person who's, you know, that one-man band. You're kind of doing everything. You're playing the drums. You're doing the mouth organ. You've got the whole thing going. And if you stop, then the music stops. I'm curious to understand how in your business, I know you've got a very scaled and leveraged business, but how did it become scaled and leveraged? What systems did you have to put in place? And how did you deal with some of those times when you might have felt a little overwhelmed at the beginning?
Yeah. Well, you know, truth be told, I feel overwhelmed even today sometimes. So, you know, don't think that there, I don't really honestly think that there's ever a point where no matter how scaled or leveraged or efficient or anything your business is, I still don't believe that there aren't, you know, growing pains and points where you could be improving. I'm a huge believer in constant improvement. But I will say, you know, going back to the beginning, before we really had systems in place and before we really started growing a team, it was really integral to have that foundation come first. And so many people skip this because this is actually another huge lesson that I learned when I started my first business, Kate's Copy, is that you don't get to skip building the foundation of your business. You don't get to open up a shop or launch a website and then all of a sudden start making money. You can't go from point A to point Z. There's so many other steps in between that are going to help set you up for that success. So with Kate's Copy, you know, I published a website and I thought all I had to do was start going to marketing events and that I was going to meet these people that were going to hire me and pay me money. Well, truth be told, I didn't have any type of foundation for my business. I wasn't creating any valuable content for people. I wasn't properly sharing how I could help serve other people. There was just so many things that I skipped. And so I think a really important part of having and creating a business that's scalable and leverageable is built making sure that you have that foundation, making sure that you put in the time to understand your audience, making sure that you put in the time to do market research and test different things, making sure that you put in the time to create that free content for people, whether it's video tutorials on, you know, whatever your audience might have their biggest pain point around, or, you know, maybe it's around written content, an ebook or something like that. A lot of people skip this step because they get really antsy about the fact that they're not creating a product or a service, but that is so, so integral. So I would say that, you know, it was kind of a realization that we had gotten to this tipping point where we had provided a lot of valuable, consistent, and free content to our audience via the podcast, via the blog, via our newsletter, via ebooks, via email opt-in giveaways. And we got to the point where our audience started revealing and asking us questions that led to the products and services that we started creating. So as an example, you know, in like August, September 2013, 1 year after the podcast had launched, we kept getting all these people asking us about like, how did you start your podcast? How'd you launch your podcast? How'd you grow your podcast? And from these repetitive questions and these themes that we started seeing and the questions that people were coming to us with, we're like, holy cow, we've carved out a space as expert podcasters. Like people actually want to learn this from us. And so we created a community, an online platform that now hosts over 2,800 members called Podcasters Paradise, where we teach other people how to create, grow, and monetize a podcast. So that was, you know, one of the very first scalable and leverageable things that we created. It's video tutorials and an online membership site, a private Facebook group, resources, recommendations. We do a monthly live webinar. So this is a very scalable and leverageable thing for us, but we didn't get to it until we already had that platform and that audience built.
So I guess one of the things that comes up there as well is clearly the lot of the work that you're doing is in that digital product space. For dentists, you know, that may or may not be as directly pertinent, but the principles that you've described there about having the foundations in place, I think are just absolutely rock solid. You need to have that, as you said earlier, that, you know, the clear picture of who your ideal patient might be, having some systems and processes in place, having some team in place and so on. I wanted to segue into team because, you know, given that you're running your business from Puerto Rico, I'm assuming you didn't take your entire team to Puerto Rico with you.
We did not.
So I'm curious, how have you found the process of building and running a really high performance team? Because obviously you would need that to support you. And what have been some of the, I suppose, the growing pains around that space as well?
So growing our team has by far been the most difficult thing for me because I care very deeply for our team and I want our team to care very deeply for us and for the business as well. And that's a very difficult thing to do, especially if you have like, a dentistry, a brick and mortar. That customer service aspect, that's typically what is hired out first, is your business, like your ability to serve and provide for your customers in a way that's valuable to them is integral to growing your business. And so that has been finding people who not only know how to get the job done, but who are enthusiastic and motivated and driven to get the job done. That's a very difficult thing to do. So finding the right people, that's number one. Number two, keeping them engaged. So once you hire them, making sure that, you know, you're providing them with the tools and resources that they need to do their job really well, and keeping that open line of communication. I mean, there's so much trust that needs to be given really on no basis. Like, you're trusting somebody who you don't know, and you're trusting them with something that is one of the most important things to your business. Like, that's very difficult to give up that control. But if you can't give that trust to somebody else, you're going to struggle over and over and over again. Because for, like, if you were to flip it around and say you're an employee, or, you know, somebody being hired, if your manager, your boss, the business owner doesn't trust you, like, how does that make you feel about your job? If you're never being, like, empowered or given the tools and resources to do your job, you're just going to get frustrated and you're going to stop caring. So the entire process of really, like, onboarding a team, finding the right people, onboarding a team, getting them on board with your mission, continuing to keep them engaged, building that relationship with them so that there's mutual trust and respect there. You know, that's all been a long process for us, but we are very grateful for our team. We have a really, really incredible team. And I think a lot of that is, you know, that open communication that I talked about, and us always letting our team know how much we appreciate them. And, you know, that if there's ever anything that they need, that we want them to feel comfortable asking for that.
Yeah, I think that's, again, you know, Kate, building a team is going to be critical to obviously your business, critical to all of our businesses as well. And you really just neatly outlined those steps there. I'm curious just to dive a little bit further into the engagement piece that you mentioned, because keeping the team engaged, as you say, is critical. And, you know, I'm just curious about what specifically you might do in your business so that we might be able to take that idea and, you know, modify it and make it relevant for ours. What do you do in your business to keep people engaged?
So there's a lot of just making sure that everyone's informed. So, like, if we're doing a big initiative, a big launch, if we're noticing something about our audience, if we have a big goal that we're working towards in our business, we want our team to know that they're a part of that. Even if that, you know, project never crosses their desk as a quote unquote task that they manage, we really like to keep the team just up to date with what's going on, because the more a part of the things that we're doing that they feel, the more engaged they're going to be. So I think that's a huge part of it. We do regular calls with our team. So we have a couple of virtual team members that, you know, primarily work with John, and they help support his, what he does in the business. And then I have a couple of virtual assistants who help me and support me in what I do in the business. And so we are every single day on Skype. Every single time, like, I'll take Jess, for example, she's kind of our community support. She's such a rock star. Every single day when she starts her shift, she sends me a message on Skype. We Skype back and forth a little bit. I ask her, like, you know, how's your family doing? How was your weekend? And really creating that rapport and that continuous open communication and staying in touch versus just always just sending off tasks. Like, it has to be more than just that for your team to, like, really be in it 110%, I believe.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. What's the old saying? I think if you win the hearts and minds, you know, you get a lot more than just the hours put in. You get the hours put in plus a whole lot of love and dedication to the jobs. So I think you're absolutely spot on. Kate, just when it comes to teams and even with yourself and with John, it's about productivity. And I'm curious to just dive into that because, again, there's always a million things that can and should be done in a business, but I guess there's probably never enough time to do everything. How do you guys stay focused on the things that matter most? You know, the things that really drive your business forward. I mean, obviously it's about identifying those things, but how do you then avoid distractions and things, you know, taking you off task?
It's such, like, a huge and important topic, and it's one that I'm sure so many can resonate with who are tuning in, is when you have so many different ideas and so many things that you want to accomplish, how do you cut out the busy work and cut out the distractions so that you're actually making progress on the things that are important to you in your business? And this is a struggle that I have myself time and time again. It's a struggle that I see others have time and time again. But Jesse, it's really so simple to, when you just break it down at the very base level, if you already know what you want to accomplish, the next step is putting a plan in place so that you have the steps laid out in front of you of what needs to happen in order to get that thing done. One of the biggest excuses that I see people use for not making progress on something that they say is important to them, a goal or a project in their business, is that they're not sure what the next step is. So stop using that excuse by writing out for yourself a plan. You know, what is the next step? We don't give ourselves enough credit for the knowledge that we already have around the things that we're working on. So I am positive that if you take a step back, and even if it's something that you've never done in the past, what are other projects or tasks that you've done in the past that might be similar or have a lot of parallels in regards to like what you're trying to accomplish? Or who in your network or your peers or in the mastermind group that you're a part of or your accountability partner or your friends and your family, who could you talk to about that thing to, you know, maybe brainstorm and go back and forth on a couple of ideas for what the next step might be? It's really about taking that first step and having that plan in place that's going to help us be more disciplined and focused and productive about whatever it is we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, the distractions, I always say it's so critical to take a step back and really look at your work environment. What is the space that you go to when you're trying to be productive, when you're trying to be disciplined? And what is it about that space that creates distraction for you? Is it because you have notifications on? Is it because you're in your home office? And when you're in your home office, you're constantly thinking about other things that you could be doing around the house? Just simply identifying what those distractions are can 99% of the time lead to you being able to remove those distractions so that they aren't distractions anymore. Like, this is just all very baseline stuff that if we take a step back and look at it from a different point of view, we start to understand that it's not rocket science. It's just about putting a plan in place, writing out that next step, and removing distractions.
I really love the fact that you've said it's not rocket science. It's really not. I always think that, yeah, excellence is really mastering some fundamentals, isn't it? It's just getting those things consistently done, doing them right. As you say, you know, putting yourself even in a better space where you can focus on those tasks and avoid the distractions is, as you say, it's not a hugely complicated thing to do, but it's incredibly powerful. And what I really enjoyed you just sharing there, Kate, was the simplicity of it. It's not easy, but it's simple.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. Kate, I'm always curious to ask people who are, you know, at the top of their game, like you and John are, about daily habits, daily rituals, things that kind of keep you guys in flow, keep you moving forward. Do you have any particular habits that you kind of start the day with or finish the day with to, you know, I suppose make sure the day goes as smoothly as it possibly can for you?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing that I do when I wake up in the morning, besides like make my bed and brush my teeth and like hygiene type stuff, is I work out. And I feel like that just gets my day off to the right start. It gives me the energy I need. I feel good after I work out. You know, that's when I feel best and I'm just ready to tackle the day. So while my morning routine and my habits and things change from day to day, that's something that's a non-negotiable for me. I always do a workout first thing in the morning. And really my biggest habit for the evening is being disciplined about when I shut down, because, you know, as small business owner, entrepreneur, like I'm sure you can relate to the fact that some nights it's 10 p.m. and you're still not, you know, quote unquote, turned off. So John and I really try to make a conscious effort to come together at night so that we do have that personal time together, so that we do give ourselves that break. And I love closing out my day with just making sure that I know what the one goal that I'm giving myself for the next day is. Because again, this goes back to the planning and being productive. I know that if I can set up my one goal for tomorrow today, that I'm going to get to my computer and I'm going to know exactly what I want to tackle first.
Again, love the simplicity of that, but the effectiveness is profound. And, you know, having that routine, having that structure and setting up that or setting up tomorrow for success today is really critical. Do you journal at all? Okay, are you a journaler? Are you someone who puts pen to paper regularly?
Yes, I think the power of journaling is so important. You know, in a digital world, we're so accustomed now to typing out notes or creating calendar invites, and all these things are great. But pen to paper, John and I have found. So last year in January 2016, we launched the Freedom Journal. It was our first ever physical product. And what the Freedom Journal is a guide to help you set and accomplish your number one goal in 100 days. We've sold over 17,000 copies of the Freedom Journal, and the feedback that we've gotten from people about the power of writing down their goal, the power of accountability when you actually have spaces to fill in a journal, is so unparalleled. And we've carried that over into our most recent physical product. We created a second journal called the Mastery Journal, and the power in writing things down day after day, even if you're writing down similar or the same exact things, this is all repetition that's so important to keeping you focused and keeping you on track. So the most recent journal that we launched in January 2017 is called the Mastery Journal, and that's all about mastering productivity, discipline, and focus in 100 days. So both of these journals are literally guides, step-by-step walking you through. It's not just a journal with blank pages. It's actually the step-by-step for how you can set and accomplish your number one goal and how you can master productivity, discipline, and focus.
Cool. So again, it comes back to, you know, keeping it in front of you, as you said earlier, you know, having those fundamentals in place, setting up the tasks today for tomorrow so you know what the number one goal is. And again, as you say, keeping it in front of your face every single day, having that repetition gets you there so much faster. And of those 17,000 copies of the Freedom Journal that you sold, I can tell you one of those copies was mine. And I've used
awesome.
It very effectively. It's a great resource. Kate, as we come to wrap up the podcast, firstly, I want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day. I know it's a very different time zone there. I'm not quite sure. What is the time in Puerto Rico at the moment? Is it evening?
Yep. Right now it's 4.05 p.m.
Okay. Well, it's 7.05 a.m. the next day in Australia. So the world doesn't end overnight. So that's the good news. but what I wanted just to finish up with, Kate, is if you had, you know, three bits of advice, you know, Kate's three guiding principles or three top tips or whatever it is you want to call it. If there are three things you wanted to leave the audience with today, what would they be? What would be the things you think would move the dial the most?
Number one is to just start. You're not going to figure it out or find out what the next step is until you just start, because it's always going to be changing. Number two would be to really focus in on what your niche is and what audience you're serving. I remember meeting a young woman a couple of years ago, and we were chatting about, you know, just where we lived and what we did for a living. And she mentioned to me that she was opening up a dentistry. She was opening up her own practice. And I thought, oh, that's so amazing. Congratulations. And she said, yeah, you know, it's been going really great because what we do is go out into the community and we only do appointments and help children. So it's like a children's dentistry. And I thought, what an amazing way to get into a niche and to let people know exactly whether you're the right place for them or not. So really understanding your audience and niching down, what market are you serving? And then number three would be, gosh, you know, don't let fear hold you back. If you're worried about failing, if you're worried about, like, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to start my own business because I'm not experienced enough, or I don't know what entrepreneurship is about, just start taking that action and don't let that fear hold you back. Surround yourself with people like Jesse. Surround yourself with even online mentors who maybe you're never going to meet in person, but who will help lift you up and support you. That is so, so important on your journey, to have that support around you.
Okay. I think, thank you so much for those top tips. They're really, really great piece of advice. I just wanted to, as we wrap up, as I said, want to say thanks so much for taking the time out of your day. Kate, if people want to find out more about what you do or read your blog or read about John and his blog, what's the best place to go to? Is it eofire.com? Is that the best place?
Eofire.com, you got it.
Cool. Well, Kate, thanks again for taking the time today. I really appreciate all the information you shared. The insights have been amazing and really impactful. And again, from our heart to yours, thank you. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, you're so welcome, Jesse. Thanks for having me on, and thanks to everyone who's tuning in.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.